Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This episode of Know-How is brought to you by 99 Designs, the world's largest online graphic design marketplace. 99 Designs connects businesses seeking quality, affordable designs with a community of over 200,000 graphic designers. Visit 99designs.com/know-how to receive a free design consultation. That's 99designs.com/know-how. Today, Shannon Morse is here, and she's going to help us know how to encrypt our email. You see that intro video, and you see that's Leo Laporte. This
is
clearly
so good as
yeah,
Leo.
I know. Hi, Leo. It's good to see you.
Hey, it's great to see you too, Ayaz.
Well, this is Know How. This is the show where we show you a fun how-to project. And today we've got Shannon Morse filling in for Leo because she's our security expert, as it were. And in this, no, did I bring the wrong person on?
I'll pretend.
Okay, you might have seen her on Hack 5, ThreatWire, BYB, all kinds of stuff. But you know your PGP. From A Hole in the Ground, right?
I do, yeah. I've been using PGP for the last couple of months, especially since we heard about Prism.
Ooh. Yeah, if you've been paying attention to the news at all, you know that the government, at least the United States government, apparently is spying on absolutely everybody if you're using a computer. So if you're watching this show, you're probably using a computer. So everything you're doing is being watched, and that's kind of terrifying. So this idea is if you encrypt your information, the government has a little bit of a harder time getting it. Although another news story said they keep the encrypted information for as long as they want, so one day they can crack whatever it is you're doing.
Oh, you're encrypting something, huh? You must have something to hide.
You must have something to hide, like banking information.
Yeah, exactly.
Or like your home address. Oh, yeah, you're a real
your
scoundrel.
Phone number.
Yes,
yeah.
Scoundrel. So we're going to use something called PGP to encrypt our email.
Yes.
What does PGP stand for?
So get this. It stands for Pretty Good Privacy.
Yeah, when I looked that up, I thought it was a joke, but that's
not
actually
even
what
joking.
It is.
That is the actual name for it. So this was created way back in 1991 by this guy named Phil Zimmerman. He wanted a human rights tool, something that would give you email encryption as a software package. So we have this open source version called OpenPGP that I'm going to use for my version later on in the episode.
Yeah, so what we're going to do, though, we're going to use this with an email client.
Yes.
Because that's usually what you use for PGP. There is a webmail version we'll show you in a while because that was one of the hang-ups for me in general. I use a lot of webmail.
Me too.
Really not a big fan of using email clients anymore because that's so
do you
early 90s.
Do you remember Incredimail? By any chance? I used to use Incredimail.
USA.net or something. One of those original ones a long
so
time
bad.
Ago. Okay, so we're going to show you how to put on some PGP encryption on Thunderbird. Now, why Thunderbird? Because it's free. I know it's not Outlook, but it's available. So we're going to use Thunderbird as our email client. And what you got to do is you got to download two things along with it. You've got to pick up GNU PG for Windows, which is this is the OpenPGP implementation that your machine needs. And then you're also going to download an extension for Thunderbird called Enigmail. Now, these are free. So this is you're going to download these things. I could show you downloading them and installing them, but it's just hitting OK, yes, and you just see like a progress bar go by. So you know how that goes.
Wait, you mean it's super easy to download something open source?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That's crazy. Everything that I ever use open source always breaks on me for some reason or another.
Okay, so once you actually install those two items and you open up Thunderbird, what you're going to see on the top is an OpenPGP menu item. And they've made it really easy. You go into there's actually a setup wizard, if you believe that. And you can go through this. It says, you're going to start using OpenPGP right away. Would you like to use the wizard? Sure, why not? Because they've actually made it very simple to use. I've already set up a couple of email accounts, and you can see some email accounts here. You don't have to have a PGP for each account. You can choose what you want. I'm going to say all of them. So yes. Go to next. Digitally sign. You can sign all your outgoing email by default. Sure, why not? Why would somebody say no to that, Jenin?
I don't know why they would say no. I would want to sign out everything.
That way people know this email is actually from you guys. Mm-hmm. And let's see here. It's asking here if you know all of your friends' public keys. I don't, so I'm going to just create a per recipient rule there. Going to next. So this is really simple. You're just going by the defaults. You're going to go with change your email to make it work more reliable. We got disable IMAP parts. It's very simple. You're just going to keep going through this.
So we should probably mention to them why we have this thing that asks about a public key for all your friends. And basically that means with PGP is you have a private key and a public key. Your private key is yours to keep yourself, and it's encrypted, and you're the only person that has access to that through a password. So you're supposed to keep this by yourself. Don't share it with anybody. Your public key is what you share with all of your friends. So you can send that out to other people so that they can send you back encrypted messages. With your private key, you can decrypt all those messages.
So if you try to send an email, I'm going to hit like right here, and we're going to go to, we'll send Shannon an email, snubzy@gmail.com. So that's public,
yay,
right? Or it's public now. So that's your email
now
address.
It is.
And we'll write, this is super cool. Super cool information, because I speak like a 50s person.
So I'm assuming this does not encrypt the subject line.
It doesn't appear to.
Okay, mine doesn't either.
So I keep seeing. So whatever, don't put sensitive information in the subject line unless you want it to be seen. This is the secret formula for Coca-Cola.
Mmm.
Water, sugar,
secrets,
and stuff. Okay, that's very exciting. So to actually have this message encrypted, you can click Open PGP here, and you can say, use PGP MIME for this message. And actually, this little key is supposed to light up in the bottom there. Brian, can you get the shot of that right here? When you click this, message will be encrypted. You can see you're using PGP. Then hit OK. And if I hit send, it's going to ask for my passphrase. You'll set up a passphrase as you do that wizard in the beginning. And I don't know which account this is, so let's see, because I have two accounts. I have two passphrases.
It's one of them.
And there we go. We'll be able to send that. But I did leave out a step. Shannon's public key. I have to have Shannon's public key,
yes,
to even send this out. And this plugin is supposed to have a way to find that. So if you go open PGP again in your menu option and you go into key management, I should be able to look her up here. Let's try another one because I don't have this in knowhow@twit.tv. Now, it doesn't show me anything. And to find a public key, I found the easiest way to go is go online, mm-hmm, to pgp.mit.edu. And if I wanted to look up knowhow at twit.tv, do the search, and you'll see the key ID right there. That's
perfect.
How you'll be able to send emails back and forth that are encrypted. I did find that when I was installing those two plugins, I found that the OpenPGP key management thing is a little buggy. A lot of times I had to hit cancel to progress.
What?
I don't know why it was doing this. It was, you know, you have okay or cancel. So it's searching.
Well, of course, that completely makes sense.
Yeah, so it's it's buggy when you start it up. But once you have it going, it runs fine. So it's actually surprisingly easy to use. And what does a message look like if that other person doesn't have a key?
So it just looks like a big glob of gibberish. There's numbers, letters, capitalizations, signs, everything in there. And they won't be able to do anything with it except for see your subject line, because, of course, that's not encrypted.
Yeah, so if you wanted to look at an email that you sent or in your sent mail, you'd have to always put in your key to see that. So this is a passphrase, excuse me, not your key. So this is pretty basic. That's Thunderbird if you wanted to do that. It's a little clunky, but it works.
Yeah, it's really
and the
clunky.
Thing is, it's your security. That's really what this is about. If you want to be secure, you should use something like this. We're going to take a quick break and thank 99 Designs. Now, they are sponsoring Know How today, so we love 99 Designs. They also made us this awesome T-shirt. They designed this T-shirt. Now, if you're wondering, what does 99 Designs do? Well, their name is pretty helpful because they design stuff. And what they do is they connect the world with great graphic designers to create fast, affordable graphic designs. Here's how this whole thing works. You tell 99 Designs what you need, and dozens of designers from the community will submit quality designs created just for you. Give the designers your feedback, and you can kind of switch things up. You can refine the designs as you go along. They have more than 200,000 graphic designers worldwide to help you out in your project. They've got customer support 24/7 over the phone, email, and chat. There's complimentary design consultations with San Francisco Designs team for all your branding needs. And they even have 100% money-back guarantee. So they do all kinds of things. Like I said, they make T-shirts, logo design, web design, digital marketing, all kinds of stuff, mobile app design even. So if you've got some great idea, they can help you put that together. You can start right now for as low as $199 for your own custom graphic design. Visit 99designs.com/knowhow and get a $99 power pack of services for free. Now, a power pack gives you more designer time and attention. 99 Designs will bold and highlight and feature your design project in 99 Designs Marketplace, and you'll get nearly twice as many designs. So say if you go to 99designs.com/knowhow, or if you want to use a telephone, you can do that. Give them a call at 1-800-513-1678 for know-how viewers and listeners. That's 1-800-513-1678. Somebody in the chat room wanted me to say it again. 1-800-513-1678. That's for you, Tolly, just for you. Visit 99designs.com/know-how today, and we thank 99 Designs for their support of know-how. The other thing is, you know, I build things all the time. I don't want to worry about the design. 99 Designs does all that stuff for me, so I don't have to bother with that.
I am not creative at all, so 99 Designs is awesome. So useful.
Now, you have a really easy solution for people.
Now, yeah.
If you don't want to install plugins for your clients for PGP, you can use something called Mailvelope to do this on the web.
Yes. So that's the big problem with PGP and OpenPGP, all the different versions that you have out there, is the fact that they are all so complicated and nobody really wants to use them. Nobody wants to take the time to figure it out and share their public keys and all that, yada, yada. So what I found was Mailvelope, and we actually did this on Hack 5, and we went way into detail, but I'll try to make it really easy and really quick. All you have to do with this is install a plugin. It's available on Firefox or Chrome as an extension, and it's an add-on that you can use for Gmail, Outlook, and Yahoo. And there's another one called GMX or something like that, but I've never used that one ever. So once you install it, you'll get this little tool up on the top right-hand corner of your screen.
So this is a browser extension from Mailvelope. It installs itself into Chrome or Firefox.
Exactly.
You click that button, and now you go to Options.
Yes, so you go to Options, and then... So the first thing that you're going to see with Mailvelope is this thing called your key ring. The key ring is basically a whole compilation of every single public and private key that you've gotten from your friends and even your own public or private key once you've generated your own. So right now, as you can see, I don't have any. So what I want to do is go ahead and generate my own private key. And then you go to generate key and you can type in your full name. You can even give yourself a nickname if you have a specific one, your email address, which I'm just using a one that I created for this. And then you want to enter a really, really hard passphrase. This passphrase is going to be what you use for your private key whenever you want to decrypt messages or even encrypt messages. So you click submit and it will tell you success. You just created your own public and private key for the key ring. Now, I also want to mention that there are a couple of different advanced options that you can also use on here. You have a couple of different options for the algorithm that you can use. Those include RSA and RSA slash RSA, also DSA slash El-Gamal. I just use regular RSA because it's good enough. You don't really have to change it. You also get the options to do 1024, 2048, or 4096. Now, the differences with these is that it makes it harder for people to basically hack it from you. So I always choose 4096.
So this would make it very difficult to try to decrypt this
exactly
without the passphrase.
It also makes it take a lot longer to generate the actual password. So if you're doing a 4096 one, just make sure you have the time for it to actually generate it for you. And the last one on there is the expiration date. So what you can do is have it expire after a year or after a couple of months or whatever you want. Now, after that, and we've clicked submit, we've created it, we go back to my key ring and you'll see Shannon Morse, my email address, the key ID, which is just a shortened version to identify that actual key. Next to my name, you also see these two little keys. And that means that I have access to both the private key and the public key. Very cool.
So this is so far we've set have you finished setting up your actual Mailvelope?
So I've set up Mailvelope. I have my public and private key. Now what I really want to do is get access to my other friends' public keys. So say I want to have access to yours so I can send, you know, inbox mail back and forth. So the next thing I'll do is go to import keys. Now this is the part where it comes in handy to know what your public key is. So I'll either go to that website, I'll have you email it to me or what have you. And then I just click submit after I've copied and pasted it. And then it says success. Gives me your email address because it will know what your email address is from the public key. And then I'm good to go. So And I also included this little screenshot to give you a good idea of what it should look like when you actually copy and paste it in there. One thing I did notice is if you don't remember the begin PGP public key block or the end public key block at the very end, it won't compile it correctly. So it'll give you an error when you try to submit it.
So this is information that you could even give out in a non-encrypted email. If you just ask, hey, Shannon, what's your public key?
You can just email it to whoever you want.
That's why it's public. So don't be afraid of sharing that, because that's important in this whole thing. Because
I even have mine available on a website. Like, you can share it with anybody.
It's strange, though, to hear that. Like, oh, it's secure. So make sure you give this out to everybody. It's kind of a strange thing, but you got to make sure your public key is available, because that's really important.
Yes. So let's go ahead and go on to the next step. So this is the part where you go back to your key ring. You can see that Iyaz's key only has, there's only one key next to his name. And that is because I only have access to his public key. If I wanted access to his private one, that would probably be a problem.
You can see it on the actual still. It says Iyaz, and this is parentheses, for the love of Jeff. Because when I was setting up OpenPGP on Thunderbird, I was having a lot of issues with that bizarre cancel to continue thing that was going on. So at some point, I broke down and wrote as a comment, for the love of Jeff, would you just work?
And that's what is wrong with this thing?
So that comment will be visible to everybody. I didn't realize that was going to happen. So just remember that when you actually have the comment section when you're setting up your PGP.
All right, so let's go ahead and go on to the next step with this part. So after this, I want to go ahead and share out my public key to Iyaz. So I click on my name, it highlights in orange, and then I click export. And then it will give me my public key as a little drop or little inbox. So I can copy this to my clipboard, and then I can email Iyaz my public key. Now, one thing to note, it also gives you the option to send it in mail inside Mailvelope. It'll just pop open your webmail and send an automatic message to Iyaz or whoever you want to send it to. The big problem with this, though, is that it won't work for longer bits. So if I choose 4096, it's just going to open up a blank website, and it's not going to work. So I always just copy and paste it because it's easier for me.
If you want to know how to do that in the Thunderbird version, what you do is you go into OpenPGP, go to Key Management, and then you would right-click your name. You'd copy your public keys to clipboard. You could put that. I'm going to copy this, and it's giving me that little message. And go over to the MIT site, because you can actually upload this there, too. So go back over that way. It says submit a key. And like you were saying, Shannon, this is what you're going to see, hopefully, this giant mess.
Yes, exactly.
This is the public key.
Oh, it looks like you have a really, really long one.
There we go. So we're going to hit submit this key to the key server.
That's
already been added. So we're all successful that way. Definitely suggest using mit.edu or pgp.mit.edu.
Yay!
So everybody has access to that. So if you search for it, or even know how we have one, you'll be able to find that.
So now we are ready, now that we've shared each other's public keys, to send some mail. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay, I'm going to share with you my banking deposit information or something like that. Something crazy that I don't necessarily need to share. But the whole reason that I was using this is because my other job, they need to send me my direct deposit information. So I had to share my banking and routing number. So I didn't want to do that just, you know, out in the open on a wireless network or something. Yes, I use HTTPS, but I want to use every protocol that makes it secure as possible. So I also use Mailvelope as well. So let's go ahead and go on to the next step with this. Now, this is the part where we compose our mail. When you normally open up Gmail or whatever, you get just a blank body of text. Up in the right corner, you have this little pen and paper sign. If you click on that, it pops up a new composed mail body of text as well. Now, in here, I just typed in, boom, encryption. Yes, encrypt all the things. And then there's a little lock sign on the corner. So when I click on the lock sign, it pops up a new window, and this is where I can encrypt it for a specific person. Now, depending on who you're sending this to, you always have to make sure you have their public key, which is why I need to choose whoever I'm sending it to. For this example, I didn't have Iyaz's email yet, so I was just using my other email. So I added snubsy@gmail.com, and then you click OK, and it gives you your new encrypted message. So in this encryption, it says, boom, encryption, somewhere. And there's also a little arrow sign up in the corner that can let you undo it if you have a problem with, you know, however you spelled something or whatever. So you click transfer, and this is going to transfer it back into Gmail. Now, when I open this up as snubsy@gmail.com, who I was sending it to, it's going to give me this little thing where it dissolves, and it gives me the little lock with the envelope. So I click on the lock with the envelope, and it unlocks it. So I just type in my password, click OK, And this is the password that I set up. And it unencrypts it for me.
You
so it says boom encryption.
You're doing that with the webmail version of it. You don't have to set up a client. That one
no
is...
No client, nothing.
No crazy plugins other than Mailvelope, the actual extension. And if you go to My Screen, you can see what the message looks like. If you don't have... If you have webmail, you're getting this message, you just see gibberish, right? This is what you would see.
Just gibberish.
Absolute gibberish. And then you're like, oh, I better use my mail client. But you don't have to do that. You can use Mailvelope. And it works with Gmail. That's one of the most popular.
Yeah, works with Gmail, and that's really all I need. So another couple of things that I did want to mention with this, after you do have it set up, and I have a screen capture of this as well, if you go back in there, there's a couple of different security protocols. When you saw the boom encryption, there was this funny little cartoonish characters in the background. It said IT plus. Or 1T plus. So what you can do with Mailvelope is set up a specific character range, a character code, so that you know it's not some kind of fake, you know, gibberish Mailvelope that somebody created to get all of your information. So you're putting all of your actual information into the real Mailvelope client. You can also create a color code. So I just chose blue for mine.
What is the blue color? What is the security token? You're picking a blue color, but what does that actually do?
So it basically just lets you know that you're using the actual Mailvelope.
Okay. So that way you're not being hijacked. So if you saw purple, you're like, oh, this is a problem.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. Exactly. So mine says like the 1T plus, and then it has the blue color. But if I actually logged into Gmail or what I thought was Gmail and I thought I was opening Mailvelope and it gave me like something in pink with a bunch of plus signs instead, I would know that it's not actually my email. It's not actually Mailvelope. So I can fix it. I can get on a more secure network.
So it's giving you a nice big warning signs that something's happened.
Yes,
if it's
exactly.
been compromised, but it's probably not going to happen.
And also, you can always CC yourself to the email, too. You can add yourself when you're in Mailvelope if you want to be able to unencrypt the thread later on. If you're sending mail back and forth during the same Gmail message, that's really important, too, because if you're not sending it to yourself, you won't be able to unencrypt your own message. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, because...
Okay, cool.
You need to have that information there.
Yeah, exactly. And you have to use a different key for each computer that you're using because it stores everything locally, which is also kind of a pain in the butt, but also good because you're not putting things on any kind of network.
You don't want that at a server locally. Somewhere else. Somebody has access to that. That would be a problem for you because that's the whole point. You want to be able to decrypt locally.
Yep.
You're encrypting and decrypting. So
that's
so
pretty much it with Mailvelope. I know it was a lot of information, but when you start using it, it makes a lot of sense.
It seems a lot easier than setting up having an email client again. I just don't want to bother with that. But Thunderbird available for free everywhere. There is a version for Mac OS X. The instructions will have a link over at twit.tv/KH. That's where we keep all of our show notes. And you'll have lots of show notes for this episode. We'll have lots of links to the old episodes. So if you want to do any of the crazy 50 projects or so. I think this is 50th episode. So if you want to do any of the projects, they're available at twit.tv/KH. If you've got questions, comments, concerns, jokes, you can share it over at Google+. We have a community there, gplus.to/twitKH is the quickest way to find it. Or you could do a search on Google+. You can tweet at us if you want. I have this search all the time with the hashtag twitKH. I've seen some great ideas from Twitter that way. Or you could use that email thing, and you can actually send us a PGP encrypted email if you wanted to, at knowhow@twit.tv. We've got some great show ideas from you guys. And that community, by the way, is fantastic. Over 3,000 people in there, and they're solving each other's problems. It's kind of this neat little thing.
That's awesome.
There's a full explanation of how OpenDNS works. And I'm learning just reading this stuff. Smartest
really?
Audience. I'm just loving that.
Huh, maybe I should check that out.
Yes,
get some segments of my own.
just go swipe it.
Yes.
There you go. Oh, so if people were on the internet and they wanted to see more of your work, Shannon, how could people do that?
So if you're interested in encrypting all the things and hacking all the things, you can check out hack5.org. That's where I do all my shows over there. And I'm also on Before You Buy. I'm the producer of our weekly review show here on Twit. Yes, it is. So I get to bring in all the really cool products and open them up on my desk and let people review them across the entire team in here. Everyone's been really helpful with that, and we have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, I think next week I'm reviewing an Acer Chromebook, a
C7,
and spoilers, pretty good.
Ooh.
Pretty good. It's only $200. It's really nice.
Don't tell me if it's a buy.
I can't
wait
tell
for the
you
show.
That. Yeah, yeah.
Wait for
you
the
have
show.
To watch it before you buy. It's twit.tv/byb. Shannon, thank you so much for that explanation on Mailvelope.
Thank you.
That seems so much simpler than setting up a client. If you want to set up a client, you can. I don't like to do that kind of stuff. Anyway, so if you want to connect with us, you saw the way to do that. And again, don't forget show notes, full show notes at twit.tv/KH. We'll have lots of notes for this episode. And now that you know how, go do it. But before we leave, we're going to show you an animated GIF for no reason.